D'Addario's newly redesigned NS Micro headstock tuner is even better than before. It has a wider opening ratchet grip, 360 degrees of adjustment, and a simplified button layout, designed in partnership with Ned Steinberger.
Everybody, I'm Ted Drozdowski, Senior Editor of Premier Guitar, and we've got a special rig rundown for you today with a guitar player who's playing I've always enjoyed. This gentleman is a terrific player, great songwriter, singer, producer, he does it all, and he's been nice enough to welcome us into his home studio today. It's Buddy Miller. Hey, Buddy. Hey. It's tremendous to see you, man.
Thanks for coming over.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It's easier than me taking all this stuff somewhere else.
We were going to send a truck, but man, you know, there are so many great guitars around here, so much really cool studio gear. These two beautiful Swart amps with a swirling vibrato sound, tremolo sound, that I just got intoxicated by. I don't even know where to start, but why don't we start with that guitar, if you'd
like
to.
Yeah, you know, I always start with this guitar.
All right.
I got this guitar. It wasn't exactly like this. It was unsold, unplayed, hanging in a window in a Colorado pawn shop that used to be a music store, I believe. Mm-hmm. This is how my memory works, because it was 1976. It was called Wedgel's. And it just, I was attracted, like, you know, most people are, to sparkles. And I just looked at the sparkles, and it had a sign on it, $85. And I didn't have much money. I walked by it 3 days in a row, and I thought, you know, the sparkles are worth $85. So I bought it. I took it to the gig that night. We were playing up there, and it actually sounded good. It blew my mind. It's a really strange guitar. It's called, for the first 10 or 20 years of owning it, I thought it was called a Noble, because that's what this insignia is.
Yes.
But Noble, it turns out, was an accordion importer, an Italian accordion importer, and they just stuck that on there. That's from their accordions. I've got a Noble accordion now. Someone has since given me. It's called a Vendre, and there's a book on Vendres that came out for a minute. In Italian and English.
Oh, you can get either version.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and on the back here, what used to be really visible, I don't know if you can see, it says "Made in our modern factory." There's a little sticker, and Vendre Pioli was the guy's name. Had a round building that served as his factory. I don't know how long he made these for. It's got an aluminum, I wouldn't call it a neck if it's down there, but it is aluminum underneath this plastic. It's got a fair bit of plastic on it.
Hmm. And this seems almost like a Bakelite body.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. I do know it has a storage compartment, should you need it while you're traveling.
That's handy. might have been handier in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. So it is aluminum under here, and then it gets to this other, it bolts together to another piece of aluminum that the pickups are then floating, three single coil pickups that it float on top of. They don't touch anything, as you can see.
Yeah.
This aluminum bar, and this, check out the strings, the bridge. I don't know if you can see that or not, but if you break a string, when I was playing 6 hour nights, you know, playing in clubs, 7 nights a week, 6 hours a night, I would break a string in the middle of a song, and I got really good. It's like threading a needle load. You see how that goes through this tiny little hole?
I do see that in the top.
Yeah.
Yep.
It makes no sense. The pickups on them were made by another Italian company called Divoli. This one's upside down and wired out of phase, which, you know, back then, I think it's late 60s is when they were made. Oh, and I should put them next to each other because they look really pretty.
They do, they do.
So I got this one for $50. I offered him 50, it said 85. He said, no problem. And I realized this is a good thing. So it took me a year to save up $250. I think there were five other ones there. And they still had every one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, a year later. He sold me four. He said one of them's too high up on the wall and it's not worth $50 to get down. So I've got like 3.5 of these things. One's in the Country Music Hall of Fame, and these are the two I've got. The pickups I could demonstrate if you want me to.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
They're single coil. This can be, you know, can do a country. And then this is a nice round. And then the trick is you get out of phase. So that's pretty cool.
That is.
And every combination in between. So it's got a lot of strange tonal. And these two are sort of placed physically out of phase. You can get a kind of a stratish. So it's been good to me. And also, the best thing that it's been to me is it keeps expectations really low when I walk in a room. It's gotten me gigs, you know. I've come in to audition for somebody way, way back when, and you come in with something like this in, you know, with no case, and people just go, oh God, let's just make this quick and get them out of here. And then, you know, you can only be better than their expectations when you walk in with something like this. So it's gotten me many a gig.
Now, the vibrato arm on that, was that something you had to fine tune to actually stay in tune to make it work?
No, man, I don't know how it works. I've taken this thing apart a few times. The spring in here runs this way. It's underneath.
So it's under that metal plate.
Yeah, it's under here running that way instead of up and down. You know, Bigsby's have the spring that's vertical. This is a horizontal spring. It's been a while since I've taken it apart. I kind of get, and you know, you notice there's some duct tape holding the bind. I flew it last week to play. The TSA, you gotta love this. The TSA took off some duct tape. Like, what are they looking for? You know, it's just holding the binding on.
Secret compartment again.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been good to me. It's a good guitar, and I've got it in black and white and a solid body. And I had to sell one when I needed money to get married. My friend Larry Campbell, who you probably know, Larry.
Right. Yes.
He's got a red one of mine that belonged to me.
Well, you are pretty much single-handedly tagged with having started a bit of a Vondre revival.
No,
you
know? Way.
People talk about those guitars and you, you know, with reverence.
Well, if anybody, you know, it's the only thing I can get music out of, really. That's not true. There's a few other things I can, but I found that this is, you know, what I do.
Well, that's
this thing, and that free guitars, which I've gotten some and I was all excited about because I was broke for all my life. But, you know, free stuff's not really, you know, I'm stick with the stuff that I know.
Well, while you've got that guitar in your hand, let's talk about your amplifier sound, because I know when I last spoke with you, you were talking about how much you enjoy running amps in stereo and how much you like having sometimes conflicting, sometimes messing tremolo.
Yeah.
And it just creates this really interesting sonic field. And you've got a couple of Swarts set up right here.
I love the Swart amps.
With some universal audio aux boxes on top. So why don't you tell us about this rig right here, and also about your love of tremolo and how you discovered that particular sound, you've heard on so many recordings, by the way.
I have not turned my tremolo off since, I don't know, 81, 82. I mean, why would I? Tremolo and reverb. That reverb, by the way, you're hearing. That's the Swart amp reverb. It's beautiful.
Wow, that's a great
tube reverb. And I love how the two different springs react a little bit differently. So you get, you know, I don't know if it's me, and I just, you know, it's it helps my need for less psychedelics in the morning when I come down here and play. But stereo reverb, stereo tremolo. I'm going with stereo tremolo now. I liked it when they fought against each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Full Tone came out with a pedal. Then I think a few people came out with a pedal. Maybe people were making them before Mike. But his pedal I love for the stereo tremolo. And then the Verb tanks react a little bit differently. And the aux box, I got to say, is a great secret weapon that from Universal Audio. It was the big surprise. To me, I was making this last record I made. As you see, I've got a lot of gear. This room is filled with, you know, great instruments. A great place to come down, have a cup of coffee, pick up a guitar in the morning.
Talking about Breakdown on 28th Avenue South?
Yeah,
the record
yeah.
that you and Julie did. First one you guys did in a decade, right, together?
Whoa, yeah, you're aware of it.
I am very aware of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm also, well, let me let you finish, and then I'm going to just bring up one other thing about it that I think is really cool. But please go ahead.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, we made a record together. Hadn't made a record. It hasn't come out in 10 years, but really we hadn't worked together in closer to 15.
Oh, my.
And I had taken every gig, because, gosh, they're great. You know, I got great work, making great records, playing with incredible artists that I just love. And so I took everything that came along, and she was on the back burner. So this room holds some not bad vibes, but you work with everybody but me down here. She's a great songwriter. I took a guitar upstairs and a little laptop and made a record upstairs. And I brought up an amp, a Swart amp, and she'd sometimes write the songs and we'd record them right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd find the amplifier would be a little loud or overpowering for putting down a guitar and a vocal and everything at the same time. This Oxbox, I played at NAMM show a year ago, and it's basically a load box. You were telling me who another companies that made them. I knew load boxes from, gosh, in the 80s. Big, they're like a transformer in there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you can turn the speaker, you take the speaker output, run it into this box, and then take the output of the box and attach the speaker to it. So you're using the sound of the amplifier, the reverb of the amplifier, the tremolo of the amplifier, and then you can take the line out or the mic out. I find I couldn't tell the difference, man. I'm not completely deaf. You know, I kind of listen for a living is one of the things
yes,
I do, and
yes.
It sounded really good. So I'd sometimes just turn the speaker all the way off, be using the sound of the amp, but running direct from it. So it's a really handy piece. I got another one because everything I do is in stereo. A lot of that is on that record is in mono. But they're very useful for recording.
Cool. Yeah, and twicer is nicer is a good philosophy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Things, you know? Well, one of the things I loved about your playing, we're talking about creating a really interesting stereo field of sound here, is that I always think of you as being kind of a little subversive. I think of you as like the subversive roots guy, because so much of your playing has these surprises in it. Like I was listening to, I believe it's called I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. Is that right?
Yeah.
On the new record.
Yeah.
And as we get toward the end of the song, all of a sudden there's this gnarly, low down, you know, it sounds like somebody poked a bear, you know, this distortion going on in there.
Well,
and I'm like, yep, that's Buddy. And then there's the delay at the end of War Child that kind of comes in. And
oh, yeah, yeah,
you always
yeah,
have
yeah.
these surprises. And that's one of the things I love about your playing.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll tell you, I'll give away my secret on, I love, that's one of the favorite things I played on that I'm Gonna Make You Love Me is a solo. I don't know if it's the same thing you're talking about. And any distortion is probably an accident. I didn't ever really go for distortion, but I play this. That's kind of the solo in how it starts. And what I was channeling, I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized it like a month after we cut the track, is there was a one-string steel guitar player. I gotta find out. I can find it real quick if you want to hear a bit. You want to hear a second or two of that? I got it on my computer.
Yeah, let's track it down. Yeah,
I've got a computerized system here.
Yeah,
it's you'll probably hear this and go, whoa. I wasn't consciously doing this when we made that. It's what, when you listen to all this old stuff, is you know that's just what's in you and what you regurgitate.
Yeah.
When I realized I'd regurgitated this, I thought, well, that's pretty cool.
well, I love that break. It's just so, you know, as dirty as a sewer rat.
And this is, I like that. okay, where is this one string cat? Because his name. Okay, here it is. It's Willie Joe Duncan and his Unitar.
Nice.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Let me see if I can find the song
for you.
A Unitar, yeah. We all need a Unitar. It might be this one. No. Because there's no, but anyway,
you
can hear that.
A Unitar.
Oh, it's this one here. Isn't that the coolest thing?
Yep.
And you can hear the little can on it. So I realized after we made that song that that's kind of filtered, came through the built-in radio station that my hands are hooked up.
Yeah, it's like a diddly bow.
Yeah, exactly, exactly,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
Only is very he cool. called it a unitar.
A unitar, yeah. Well, I like that.
So that's what that is. Thank you for liking that solo. No. I'm very proud of that.
Oh, cool, it's cool. Maybe we should take a look at your pedal board. Does that seem like a reasonable thing?
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah, let's talk about what you have down here. And is this your standard kind of working board?
You know what I find? Nothing helps me. That's the sad thing.
You are too modest.
I've got a ton of great pedals here. The only one that's on right now is the trim.
Yep.
And it's VB2. And I guess I have a tiny bit of low end on with this thing.
Oh, the RC booster. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yep. It's why they make it silver with white writing on it. I'll never know what it is.
Yeah, so we can't read it.
Yeah. but mostly they don't help. I find that. I do like if I'm getting this Strymon pedal is really nice. I use the El Capistan up until then. I'm a simple, player. I've gotten farther with less than anybody I know. So
and you've got an Analog Man overdrive there too.
I love this, yeah. But it's off too.
Okay.
But generally I have it there, and in that setting, there's not much going on. Just adds a little bit of depth to it.
Yeah, a little mid.
A little bit of dirt, yeah, low mid.
Cool. So it's a very simple rig.
Very simple. I try not to, when I'm on, and even on the road, I've gotten used to this, mm-hmm. But when I'm traveling by myself, I just went and did a thing with Brian Blade. I try not to take more than I can run through an airport with. So that's what we've got here.
Cool.
The VB2 never goes off.
Yeah.
It's always on.
Yeah, truly a classic vibrato pedal.
I have a very subtle amount in there.
So when you're on the road, you're going to take these guitars, most likely,
uh-huh.
and you're going to take that pedal board, and you'll either spec amps, or if you're traveling with your own amps, do you bring a pair of Swarts when you play out?
No, I try to get a pair of, if I'm out, I mean, if it's a one-day thing, rentals places don't have a...
Yes.
But, when I go out on the road, which I don't do that much these days, but I will take my Swarts with me and fly them. Take them. I generally take a baritone guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the one thing I didn't show about this is this here that says E.
Yep.
That means the other one's not tuned to E.
Okay.
And that, here's something. I can make an appeal. Can I make an appeal to our viewers?
Yeah, do it.
If someone could come up with this, like a little lever here, like an extra tuner, that would move the dots. These dots on the side and these things up and down, I would be so grateful because when you put a capo on, I hate capos, but they're necessary sometimes. I play with women singers, and quite often flat keys come up and that kind of thing. I have to put a capo on. I went, where am I? Gosh, this dot. If only this dot were in the right place, I might hit the right note, but that's not going to happen. So I'm always hitting the wrong note. So if you could roll the dots up and down. So for a capo placement, I'd be, I'd pay a lot of money. Well, I'd pay $20 for that.
That's a start, right?
Yeah, that was a lot of money at one point in time, yeah.
Now, so, a lot of people have probably seen you play the Americana Music Association Awards and scoop up a couple of those yourself as well. But when you play that gig, what's your back line there typically? Is it just what they've got at the Ryman, or do you bring in your own stuff?
It's worth it to me to bring my amps.
Yeah.
I mean, there were years when I would supply all the amps when they were first getting started because it was on a shoestring. But these days, I'll bring my amps. I like the stereo sound. It all depends on who I'm playing with and what my role is.
Yeah.
But I just like the stereo sound. I like the stereo sound when there's not much going on. I like playing with just a bass player, a drummer, and guitar. And sometimes just a baritone guitar. I've got a 6-string bass, and I find... don't need, when I'm playing baritone, don't need a bass player.
Let's talk about recording guitars for a minute, and then if you'll indulge us, we'd love to talk about some of your favorite guitars, which we have around here.
Yeah.
But what is your favorite rig for setting up guitars? Obviously, you're recording in stereo.
Yeah.
But what kind of mics do you like to use to record? Do you, what kind of compression do you have back here that you prefer? Do you go into the U47? What's cooking?
It You know, I don't obsess over that anymore. I used to. I kind of keep it simple. I've got my favorite Mike Pre's are Telefunken V76s.
Okay.
But when I'm tracking, a lot of records that I track here, we get everything live. Okay. The last record I made was a little while ago, was a couple called The War and Treaty. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They're phenomenal singers and players. And the band was just an incredible bunch of players. And this was the most electric sessions that I've been a part of. And everything went down live, their vocal, and everybody's jaw was dropped at every track. And but, you know, V76s were dedicated for vocals at that time. Okay. So I think I went through probably the Neve stuff, or Neve's a little soft, sometimes just the API. But it doesn't matter that much. As long as the sound coming out of the amp is good, then I'm okay with it. But these mics that are on there now, what are they, the Sennheisers? Are they the 441s? I don't even know what they're called. Those, they have a number attached to them.
Yep.
Them, 50, you know, 57s are fine. I like a large diaphragm condenser sometimes on, and a ribbon in combination. But if I'm doing stereo, that's kind of overkill. So just if I can get away with having two channels for me, I'm happy. If it's a small band, if I get another guitar player or a few other things going on in there, then stereo guitar might be a little too much.
Okay. And are you using a Pro Tools rig here? I know you've got this great board, but it seems like right now it's kind of just holding a bunch of things up. So
the board is great and it's on. And there was, if you'd have come a few weeks earlier, there was a 2-inch 16-track machine over there.
Okay.
And a 1/2-inch machine in the other room. And I would record onto there until I realized it had been a while since I turned them on. Nobody wanted to pay for tape.
Right.
And I let them go. And Pro Tools sounds good these days. When I first started using it, it didn't sound that great. But the console is beautiful.
And what kind of console is this?
It's a Trident B-Range.
Okay.
One of the holy grails of consoles was the Trident A-Range. And then they realized it cost them too much money, I think. And they found ways to cut corners. And it's still an amazing sounding console, but it has some issues from time to time. And usually has more than one piece of tape on it saying, don't touch that fader, or, you know,
yeah.
It's an old console, and sometimes I'll just use it as a summing mixer. I had a mod done to it where these little switches, when they're pointed down, the fader's active. When they're up, the fader does nothing, and it's in Unity Gain.
Okay.
So the console is a beautiful sounding summing mixer. It's a great, it came out of Hyde Street Studios in San Francisco.
Okay.
A lot of really, you know,
so
records were made
things,
on it.
It keeps things warm, basically.
It does, yeah.
Well, maybe we should take a look at some guitars, if that sounds good.
We can do that.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that. So, Buddy, you mentioned earlier that this baritone is one of your key instruments. Let's talk about this guy.
Yeah. This is a Jerry Jones baritone guitar. I guess it's modeled after Dan Electro. I think they did make baritone. They made six-string basses, for sure. I've got one.
Yes.
Which are a different scale. This is a little more playable. And I guess the new Dan Electro, they make, I don't know if they make the same scale as this, but this is easy for a guitar player to play.
Yeah, I know they still make a couple of different berries, but I'm not sure exactly what the scale is.
This, I feel like the Jerry Jones are a little bit more of an instrument, pickup-wise and just feel-wise, and I've had this thing for a long time. And it's another one when you play with... I'd play with Emmylou Harris, I'd play with Patty Griffin, Sean Colvin, women singers who are great guitar players. Mm. And sometimes we'll go out as a duo and I want to find something else to play that covers sonically something that might be missing, an area that might be missing in the soundscape, and the baritone will come up. I can cover a low end. And why is everything tuned with the sixth string drop down a step? I don't know, but... I can still noodle around. And that kind of helps a lot.
And how old is this one?
Probably, I feel like it's late 80s, but I don't know if he was making them then or not. I think that's when I got it.
Hey, it looks certainly well used.
Yeah, I got a spare when I heard he was stopping. Because they're really good. But... felt like that's one of the coolest things. When I played with Robert, I just picked that up. And I think that's how we started the album we made together, with that sound.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a big engine somewhere.
That is a great sound.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me of this rock band a little bit called Morphine.
Oh, yeah, Mark Sandman, sure.
Slide bass.
Yeah.
You know, it's
big
just
fan of it. Yeah. Cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, it's very rich and full. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about something else?
Yeah, there is something else.
I bet there's something else.
Should we go acoustic?
Yeah.
Oh, looking at these, I did forget to tell you one great story.
Oh, great. Let's hear it.
Not long, probably 5 years after I had it, and I moved up to New York from Austin, Texas, and this was stolen.
Huh.
And it was my really only guitar. I think I had one other guitar that wasn't as nice as this. And I put on telephone poles. It wasn't New York City. It was Union City, which was right through, in between the Holland Tunnel and Lincoln Tunnel on the other side. And they had telephone poles, and I drew a picture of it and put it on telephone poles. And I got a call one day from a guy who said, because it said reward.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I really actually paid. But I drew a picture, and he said, "Man, I think I found your guitar under my truck."
Oh,
and yeah, in a case, it just somebody had thrown it out. It didn't have a nice case. They were hoping for something better, I think, like a Fender or a Gibson. There was a Learn to Play guitar, book in there. I forget what it was, but a basic Learn to Play. Two of the strings were tuned to the same note, and one of them, I think, was broken. But I got it back. The person that stole this thing threw it out. I love that. A lot's happened to this thing over the years. But
it's got a fair amount of electrical tape on it, and you can see the bindings pulling up in the corner, and it has some cracks.
It probably has, the most money that's been put into this thing is, it probably has $50 worth of super glue in it. That's when Joe Glazer, who's the master guitar repair person and guitar maker, he's great, in town. He sees me coming, he calls it boat work when I'm bringing these things in.
Because he knows he'll be getting out the glue.
Yeah. So where are we, moving to an acoustic guitar?
Yeah, does that sound good?
Yeah, I've got a couple acoustic guitars.
I can pass you this one.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of which, I got this from Joe Glazer.
Ah.
He knew I was looking for one of these things. This is a 1934 L00. Feel how light this is.
I know, felt that on the way over.
Yeah,
it's extremely light.
I know no one can feel that. But
it has spent some time drying out over the years.
I know. I was looking for one, and this one is so beautiful. He said he didn't... It has a loose brace in there. He said, I didn't want to fix because I think it helps the sound.
Huh.
This is how the strap came up. This may be original strap. I don't know. It's an old piece of brown string.
Yep, with a tied around the corner of one of the tuning pegs.
Yeah, and then this... Always keep this close by, was the capo that was in the case. Check this out. I don't know if you can see this. It looks like it came out of a turn-of-the-century dentist office.
Sorry, to keep your jaw open.
Yeah, so it's... but it's such a beautiful... It's the only guitar that I keep new strings on. It's very different from every other guitar, which I love the sound of old records, old rhythm guitar folk records that have somebody playing like rhythm guitar, like Bob, for instance Bob Dylan or something, just the sound of that guitar. But this doesn't have that. This, you can hear every note on it, hear every string. So if there's a song I'm recording, I want the guitar to be out front. This will be on. If it's a rhythm guitar, I've got an old J45 that I love.
It rings beautifully.
This thing is another beauty. Although pickups, I don't know why pickups have to be a different color. But I will say, even though it's a different color, it's the best sounding pickup. I've had, you know.
Is that an LR Bags?
That's a Bags. Do they make something called an Anthem? I don't know.
I believe they do.
Okay, yep. Then that may be what this is. It has a mic and whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
I hate.
It's got a mic and
usually.
A pickup.
Yeah, but this sounds good. I mean, every time I go here, I hate being the guy at somebody's gig when after somebody plays a great set of their heartfelt songs they wrote, and going up and saying, "Hey, your guitar sounds great. What's in that thing?" You know, instead of, "Man, I love your set. Oh, that song made me cry." I hate being, you know, but I'm not the only guy I know that goes, you're looking for the acoustic guitar sound that sounds like an acoustic guitar. And so far, this is as close as I've gotten, although I haven't used it that long. I may become disgruntled with it.
It is a real search, though.
But this is one of those guitars that most of mine have that old rhythm guitar sound. I don't change strings on it much. And the strings I'm using are this new D'Addario, what are they called?
Is it the Elixirs?
No, D'Addario, they look like electric guitar strings, but they're acoustic. I'd have to find it and let you know. I should because they're great. They're really good. They sound like an old instrument. They bring that out of the instrument. They bring the sound of the instrument out. But that's really nice. Oh, can I show you something unexpected?
Yeah.
I'll have to go get it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And this was, I should say
surprise
too.
Surprise is welcome.
This was used in that movie Crazy Heart, Jeff Bridges played.
And how old is that guitar?
1954.
54.
And I shouldn't show this to anybody, but it says John Cates in
there.
Don't
say John Cates in there.
Please don't come and take your guitar back, John Cates. I don't know who that is or why it's in there. At least it's not written in blood. But it's it's in there upside down, but it's in there. I'll show you one thing that I'm just seeing on the wall that's really cool.
You bet.
All right. Well, this is a Silvertone, which I don't know if it's Harmony or K. I forget now. They're all kind of a blur. And the same sort of instrument.
Yeah.
But this is made, oh, no. That doesn't say John Cates, does it? What does that say? It says Joanne.
John.
Or John?
No,
okay,
John.
Well, let's, it says to John on there. Okay, well, let's hope it's a different one. Anyway, this is Scott Baxendall in Athens, Georgia, takes these old harmonies, old Ks, Silvertone is one of those too, takes the top off the instrument because they're not great sounding instruments. When you get them, but it sure looks good, doesn't it?
It does.
And he takes the top off and rebraces them with just really to make them sound really good, completely. It sounds like a big guitar.
Yeah.
It's funny how these instruments sound completely different when you're sitting in front of them than when you're playing it. It sounds like a big guitar when you're sitting in front of it, I think. Does it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good.
Yes, I'm right. Yeah, no, it sounds like a
because it doesn't while I'm playing it now.
Okay.
But I know it's one of the better sounding guitars I've got.
Yeah. And it's got that very old school square shoulder design, early dreadnought look.
I love how it looks, yeah. That's one of the things he does. He makes great new instruments too. But he takes these old guitars and they don't sell for that much when he does. And he puts a lot of work into them, taking the top off the guitar, completely rebracing it and turning it into a really great sounding guitar and putting, these are probably Waverly's on it. Yeah, putting really good pegs on it.
Oh, that's cool. He's supercharging these old instruments that were always sort of built to be cheap and didn't really sound as good as Gibsons and Martins and things at the time, but were pretty much what everybody who couldn't afford one of those would play.
Exactly, right. Yeah. This is wild. They didn't make very many of these things. Hofner six string bass that's playable. Well, takes a while to get used to it. Anything, I guess, can be playable. But the Fender six-string basses for me, I had a couple. They were so hard to play. The strings are so close together. The scale is just as long, and it just never sounded. Always sounded plinky.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing. Something things come out of it. One winter, me and Marco Giovino and Robert Plant in this room just set up just the three of us and wrote and recorded, a dozen songs or so that just they just come out, you know, just Marco on drums and this thing, because you don't need a bass player or another instrument with something like this. Just somebody that has words and songs, and you just, it just kind of takes you into songs. It's the 60s,
yeah. Yeah, I know it's got a nice adjustable bridge with some instruments like this don't really have.
Right, well, maybe it's anything. I think it's the 60s. I mean, I don't know. Everything that's good is the 60s. I don't know, man, but it's got, you know, these things are pretty knobs.
Yep, they are.
I know they didn't make many of them, and I waited for a long time before I could find one. My friend Maple Byrne, who you've probably, have you been to Maple's house?
No, I haven't.
He's got the most insane guitar collection in the one of the one. He's a guitar tech, and Emmylou Harris is for 30 plus years, and that's how I met him. He had one of these, and I borrowed it, and I had to have one. And it took me years to be able to find one before one showed up. And
yeah, I'm trying to see what these controls are demarcated as.
It's a Hofner. I don't even want to know. I feel like I'll be responsible if I can read it, and hopefully it's not even in English. And you know what? I know it's upside down. It says rhythm.
Okay.
So I can only play rhythm when that's in that direction. bass on, treble on. Okay, there
right.
You go.
So
I guess that must be the,
and,
yeah, I guess
yep.
So. Yeah, but it's nice. Just songs just come out of
it's
it.
It's gorgeous sounding. You also strike me as somebody who looks for an instrument for the qualities that it possesses. You don't seem to me like you're a big modifications guy.
I'm not smart enough to get in there and I mean, I'll change out pickups occasionally, but when I do that, it becomes a mess. But hey, the opposite of this thing, I'll show you another thing that's...
Okay.
One of our politicians said, when they go high, I go low. Is that... Somebody said that. And that's what I do with this thing. You know, when somebody's playing up high, I'll pick up something where I can play low. When somebody's playing up low, let me show you. So this is a Mando guitar.
Okay.
When they go low, I go high. This is made by Hammertone. Phantom, they don't make them anymore. Phantom, I think, are the only folks that still make them. Vox made them in the 60s.
It has that kind of Vox body on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this is the same body style Vox used, although Hammertone at the time had some drum skins, and that's what this is.
Ah.
They were going to be used on a drum, and this is basically a 12-string guitar tuned up an octave higher. Except for the G doesn't have octaves on it. So it's... That right, I played it. I just started playing it, realized, yeah, on Lucinda's Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, I think I played the signature part on this thing, on this. Yeah, so that's it. It's that was one example of picking up an instrument to get out of the way of everybody else.
And of course, coming up with a signature lick.
Well, but it's cool. And it's an instrument that sounds, it can be really, like you were talking of Washington Phillips earlier. I think of this and Washington Phillips in the same boat. Take distortion and pedals really well too. Although I don't have any of that.
I noticed that the single coil pickups have the same finish as the white body shells.
Yeah, they were working on it. Yeah, the drum skin.
Yep.
I mean, of course, that's not, but this is actually from a drum, or was going to be on a drum. They just got some. But yeah, this is nice. Phantom still makes these things, and they're so useful.
It is beautiful. And you've had it for quite some time.
Yeah, I've got probably 4 or 5 of them, different, you know, from different people. They don't last all that long. This has lasted a long time because there's so much string tension, because it's tuned up so high that the necks can bow on them and they become harder to play. But they're really useful in recording. And as is this other thing I've got here, if I can show you this.
Yeah, you bet.
I think you know more about it than me, or more, you know how to pronounce the name anyway.
I'm not sure. I think maybe Perry does, but we'll find out.
Okay. This, I brought some friends over to Gruen's Guitar one day, who were in from out of town, and George came over and said, I think you might like this. And it wasn't because of the way it looked, although, you know, it's unusual, but it's very much like that Mando guitar.
Yes.
Only it can't make it up a full octave, so it's tuned D to D. And what's interesting is the strings are not in octaves. They're double, like a mandolin, and out of tune. And it's another songwriting machine. I got it from my wife, so I bought it from George that day, brought it home, and she loves a guitar she can keep next to the bed.
Yeah.
And wake up, pick it up, write a song, put it back. And on this last record we made, she probably wrote half the songs that were new anyway.
And it's made by Gillette, is that right?
Yeah.
The same people
yeah.
who make the Griffin.
Yeah. What is that?
That is something that I also don't know how to play.
Oh, is that the one you were telling me about that's 11 string?
Yes, I think it is. Yes, the 11 string. Yeah, and I have no idea how that thing's tuned, but the people that I know who have it really dig it.
This is really great. It's really nice. It sits in a different place than anything else in
yep.
a track. Especially when it's in tune, which it's not right now, but it's been another very useful instrument.
Yeah.
I went and got a second one because of it.
Well, it's great. I mean, having such a great variety of instruments allows you to have so much flexibility and to fit into the mix, as you say. And, well, it's just a terrific position to be in. And here you are, you know, in essentially your castle. You've got everything you need right now.
I know. I like working in here because I can just look around and say, well, that might work.
Yeah.
So this was useful.
Now, once upon a time, I understood that you had microphones embedded in the ceilings and things in this house. Do you still have those somewhere?
Yeah, that was I've got some in, maybe in this room, there's still a little, when I recorded Solomon Burke.
Yes.
I kept microphones running, tape running from the entire time he came in the house, because he is a story machine.
I hope you have those. He was great.
Oh, he was so great. And we had a wonderful time. So. I like the sound of rooms, so I no longer have the mics hanging in here, but I had them. We lived across the street for 15 years in the house directly across the street. There, the rooms always had mics in the ceiling. In that, I think there's mic, whatever you call them, things that you screw mics into in that room there. And this, there's enough space that I can just kind of keep them up there. But I love the sound of a room.
Cool.
Which you're getting a lot of with this, me being this far from the microphone.
Yeah, which is a great mic. And what is this mic again that we're using today?
This is an old RCA 44BX, which AEA is remaking them. They're probably just as good as the old one, but they don't look quite as bad.
Yeah,
I love
yes.
old microphones. I love singing into something that's kind of banged up and dirty and the wrong color, and just kind of while I'm singing, subliminally, something is going in there that, you know, this is a piece of art that and a tool that's been used on who knows what. When it was interesting, I made a record with Richard Thompson over here, an incredible guitar player. I'm sure you're familiar with.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And he's a bird watcher. And he'd be playing a solo that. It's unfathomable to me. I could not figure out even what he's doing, but I'd see him looking out the window here and looking at a bird. I mean, he knows all the different, you know, what they all are and every little bit about them. And so the brain is an amazing thing.
Yes.
He could kind of use part of his brain as thinking about, man, what's that bird digging on right now out there? And while he's playing something insane.
And he'd probably finish a stunning solo, put the guitar down and turn around and say, did you see that warbler?
Yeah. So that's an advantage to working in a room that has windows.
Yeah.
That's the only advantage.
Well, buddy, thank you so much
yeah.
for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's really
been a blast.
Thank you.